Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This Saturday, the French Embassy and the Lycée Français are hosting a conference on living with two languages here in the city. And not surprisingly, it focuses on the advantage of being bilingual, the advantages. I'm joined now by two of the panelists who will be discussing language, emotions, and the bilingual brain. Sean Lynch, head of the school of the Lycée Français School of New York, and by Ellen Bialystok, a cognitive neuroscience and research professor at York University in Toronto. Dr. Bialystok, hello from New York.
Hello, good morning.
And Sean Lynch, thank you for coming to our studio.
Thank you, Brian.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. What do you gain from your bilingual or multilingual life, or for that matter, what challenges does it present? Call in 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Include English in your call. And I'm sure the panel's sponsors, Sean Lynch, are sold on the advantages of bilingualism. Do you find – and actually, let me ask Dr. Bialystok this first. Do you find neurological advantages to knowing two languages?
Well, what we find is neurological differences. So just the fact that you're constantly manipulating two languages changes some of the wiring in your brain, and those changes turn out to be beneficial in some cases. So it's mostly that it makes your brain networks different, and most of those differences turn out to be advantages.
And Sean Lynch, you have an unusually bilingual world with dual citizenship, educated in both the U.S. and France. You now run a prestigious private bilingual school, and you even tweet in both languages. So aside from your job, can you analyze what's going on in your own brain?
Not always, but most of the time, I hope, at least. It's yes, I actually was born in the United States and left the country at age 6 and moved to Austria. And with my two brothers and my sister, my parents put us in Austrian schools. So my first experience with bilingualism was actually between the English language and the German language. I learned French at, a few years later and became trilingual at that point. And I know that in addition to some of the cognitive advantages that Dr. Bialystok has just mentioned, that there are a host of other advantages that one gains as well by speaking multiple languages. First of all, is one is able to learn other languages much more easily when one already speaks two. And not just that, but there's a level of cultural literacy that's available to those, I think, who speak other languages that's really hard to imagine with just one language.
Cultural literacy. If you can speak a people's language, then you can more easily understand what's going on with them.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Bialystok, what exactly, to deepen your first answer, is different, you said different, about a bilingual brain?
Well, the key to understanding what's different is the surprising fact that's been shown many times now, that when somebody is bilingual, every time they use one of their languages, the other one is active, it's online, it's ready to go. So basically, you have a problem because we're speaking French now. Sean is speaking English. Sean is speaking English to us. But because he's able to speak French, all of these networks in his brain that are responsible for French are alive and active. That means there's a potential for massive confusion and intrusions, but it doesn't happen. So the key is to understand why it doesn't happen. And the answer is that the brain has a built-in system called the executive control system that jumps into action and takes charge of making the language you want the one you're using. Mm-hmm. And over years, the use of this executive control system for picking out the language you need in the face of this language that you don't want to be using right now makes that executive control system stronger. And all of the advantages we see for bilinguals are in their superior executive control system.
Let's take
it's
a call.
The most important system we have.
Arthur in Rego Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm one and a half generation American. I came to to New York when I was 10 years old, I find, even though I agree that there are many benefits to being bilingual, but I find that it's a challenge for me first of all.
So for the first 10 years of your life, you had no English to that point. Is that correct?
Yeah, I spoke Russian till the age of 10 before I moved to New York. Uh-huh. And I find that nowadays I have great challenge speaking to Russian-speaking people because my vocabulary isn't as mature as it would be for someone my age already. I'm 29, and I feel that my vocabulary is limited in my native-born language. So I find that to be a great challenge because I have to think about certain words. Mm-hmm. I hear some Russian-speaking people talk in a normal conversation, and I have to almost define
go word by word. So, Dr. Bialystok, do you hear that kind of story a lot?
Well, this is absolutely true. And remember I said that what bilingualism does is make the brain different, and I avoided saying it's categorically better. What we know is that it's different. And it turns out that one of the differences we see with bilinguals, and we've shown this in very large-scale studies, is that they, on average, have a smaller vocabulary in each language than a monolingual speaker of that language, which is exactly what the caller is reporting. So this is true. And I think, it's not a surprising outcome, but it is one that, people, bilinguals, have to sometimes grapple with.
And I know a trilingual child, mm-hmm. whose speech development was delayed, not that he didn't learn how to speak when he was a baby, but when he entered kindergarten, he was very, very, very quiet. And his parents told me that that's actually extremely common in bilingual or multilingual kids once they enter a social community with other kids who are basically speaking one language. Do you find that, Sean Lynch, at your school?
Yes, it is possible that some students can start speaking whatever language it is a little bit later than they might if they were monolinguals. But on the whole, in a school like mine, which is a bilingual French-American school, students are able to learn both languages very, very early. They start at age 5. And then, in fact, at our school, we add Mandarin when they get to be 8
wow.
years old. So, in fact, we're very confident that despite any initial difficulties students might have, that in the end, their brains are going to allow them to speak 2, 3, and possibly even more languages
so
later on in their
lives. All the students at Lycée Français are learning Mandarin.
They are indeed, starting in third grade.
May in Great Neck, you're on WNYC. Hi, May.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be on the air. I'm a first-time caller.
Glad you're in.
I was interested in this discussion because I have read Dr. Bialystok's work before, in theory, but as a mom of 2, I'm finding it difficult to raise my children bilingual in practice. Everywhere is English. They speak to their friends in English, even though their friends could speak to them in Mandarin. So I'm wondering if she has any recommendations.
It's an interesting problem, and it's quite common. The thing about learning a language is that you learn it more easily if you're surrounded by the language. So if you have opportunities to use the language, you'll improve in the language. So the kinds of things you want to do are increase the opportunities. If there aren't speakers around, then you want to bring in movies and books and, seek out places where that language is going to be used just to increase the exposure.
But then, Sean Lynch, do you find at your school that that learning more of one language makes acquiring the other easier, or does dual language instruction mean just you don't fall behind while picking up English?
No, absolutely. No, one definitely helps the other. There's no question about that. And just to go back to
any tips to the caller from your educational
absolutely,
experience?
Absolutely. That's that's an excellent question. I think a lot of language learning has to do with need. And it's true that if a student were a non-Mandarin speaker living in China, for example, that the need to speak Mandarin and to learn how to speak Mandarin would be obvious and probably quite easy. It probably is. It's undoubtedly different for that same child in the United States of America. But I think that the need can be conveyed through the value that the family places on the learning of Mandarin and the importance that's given to that other language in the life of the child. And I think that that's something that certainly schools can help with, but parents as well, I think, just playing their role of providing the support that the students need in an affective way for the language that they're learning is very, very important.
Let me take one more call who I think will get our multilingualism award for this segment, Jack in Queens. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
Well, I speak six languages, and I also have kids that are bilingual, or at least bilingual. And what I found, what I've been told by different people, is that when I speak a different language, I have a different personality, actually.
Dr. Bialystok, does that sound scientifically consistent with your understanding?
It's a wonderful point, and I would say that it's anecdotally something that you hear frequently, and I think there's a lot of substance to it. I think part of it is because language is more than a bunch of words and some rules for putting them together. Different languages also have different rules of politeness, different ways that you should or should not say things. And all of these different dimensions that are not in the words themselves, that are concerned with politeness and how you ask questions and so forth, reflect personality to some extent. And so people really do take on the character of a language by speaking it. And I think that's what's behind this observation, that people change personality.
I think that's quite true. I mean, when I go to Germany, I'm fluent in German as well. And when you go to Germany, for example, my ex-wife is German as well. My kids are born in Germany. So people think differently there. They're wired in their head differently. I mean, it's a whole... you're a different person there, really. So, yes, that's very much so.
Jack, thank you very much. We're almost out of time. Do your students have to worry about standardized testing at Lycée Français only in English?
No, they actually are no concern with testing in both languages. Absolutely, yeah. But there's no doubt about it that speaking two languages at the same time is something that adds to their creativity and their divergent thinking.
And we have a number of comments on our webpage asking if the language of if programming languages make you multilingual.
I'm going to jump in and say no. It's got to be a language you use to communicate with other human beings.
Right. So neither does reading and speaking music.
No.
So we will leave it there with Ellen Bialystok, cognitive neuroscience and research professor at York University in Toronto, Sean Lynch, head of school at the Lycée Français School here in New York. And the conference on Saturday, Living with Two Languages, is already sold out, but it will be streamed live, and you can find the link to that right on our page at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.